Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time of worship that we can come and sing of your praises, Lord. Thank you for the freedom that we have in this world. Lord, watch over those who are sick and couldn't be with us today. We want to honor you with everything we say and we do and go. And we love you, Lord, and be with Brother Ricky as he brings us a message and as he travels in a few weeks. Bring him back safely. And Lord, please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Would you open your Bible, please, to the book of Galatians? Galatians chapter 5. Last night they did fireworks right across the way from us over in Pecan Grove Park. And they had a music band that was playing. Some of you may have heard of the band. One of their songs that they played like four times was YMCA, the Village People. Yeah, they were there. And they sang. And I never did get the connection, but they sang. And they also sang the song we just finished, because I heard it. The music was so loud that it's over a quarter of a mile, maybe even a little bit farther to where the bandstand was, and I could sit out in my yard and I could hear them. They were just loud as they could be, and the fireworks were good. We stood out there and watched a little bit. There were two fire trucks in case they got it out of Kelter, but they sang a couple of the patriotic hymns that we... Now, I didn't know the Village People were that way. I thought they just liked to do that YMCA thing where you do your hands and everybody gets all involved, but no, they were singing some pretty good patriotic stuff. And then when the fireworks started, they went to recorded music, and that they were better. The recorded music was better. You could tell their voices were not quite what they used to be. But here in Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 13, for freedom, Christ has set us free. No, I'm sorry. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. That's where I stopped. Freedom. Real freedom is given by God. Real freedom is given by God. That's my number one point. It says you were called to freedom. There was never anyone more free than Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 2, we find this. The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may freely eat. And then he put the caveat, except the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. But he was free. Adam and Eve were free from disease. There was no cancer, no diabetes, no hardening of the arteries, no COVID. No flu, not even the common cold. No disease whatsoever. They were free from disaster. Hurricanes did not come. Tornadoes, tsunamis, plagues. It was a pristine, pure environment. In chapter 2 of Genesis. It was free from death. And we don't want to belabor this point, but there were no funeral homes. Thankfully, No cemeteries, no gravesides, no weeping or the bodies of loved ones. Disease, disaster, death, destruction was unheard of in Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 3, there's a change. Rebellion in the heart of man moved in and usurped the liberty that God had given them. And just like a three-year-old, when you say, "Don't touch the stove," they touched the stove. Rebellion was built, and freedom was lost. Do you remember the beginning words of the Declaration of Independence? Let me read them to you. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Those are words that went ringing down from that hot Philadelphia room in 1776, that blew away all the cobwebs of indifference and servitude. With those words, Thomas Jefferson penned exactly what God, I think, wanted him to pen. Now, I'm not saying that this is Scripture, but folks, it's about as close as you're going to get. When he said, "We are endowed by our Creator," he recognized the uniqueness of God, that nature's God bestowed equally upon all men and women the same liberty, the same life, the same pursuit of happiness. We all have it. Now, on the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C., here's what we read. These are the words of Thomas Jefferson. "The God who gave us life gave us liberty at the same time. The hand of force may destroy, but cannot disjoin them." You look on and you read this from Thomas Jefferson. "Can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of people that these liberties are the gift of God?" You'll say, now how can you stand in a pulpit with the open word of God and quote secular man? Well, it's not hard when secular man is quoting Scripture. The concepts in our Constitution, in our Declaration of Independence, in our Federalist Papers, all of these different documents proclaim loudly that we are a nation under God. And because we're a nation under God, because we are different than any other nation on the face of the world, we have a responsibility like no other nation on the face of the globe. George Washington: "Let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without..." That's false, is what he said. "Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail and exclusion of religious principle." What he means is we cannot have a country morally, righteously correct if we remove the foundation of God upon which our nation is built. We have been called the American experiment. And for over 250 years, we've been experimenting. But the words of these men ring true in our day. You can look at the newspaper. You can look at any of the online feeds on the internet, and you can find that these liberties that were a gift of God had been slowly eroded away. We're seeing our Supreme Court come back to the main principle of what the Supreme Court should be. They are not to create law, they're simply to interpret the Constitution. And if they will stay within that parameter, then we may see a change in our nation. John Adams: "We have no government armed in power, capable of contending in human passion, unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and righteous people. It's wholly inadequate for the government of any other." And what Adams is saying is, we founded this country on those principles of faith and religion and Jesus Christ. That's where we were founded. And the more you look at it, the more you have to agree. Even Dwight Eisenhower, born in Denison, Texas: "Without God, there could be no American form of government, nor an American way of life. Recognition of the Supreme Being is the first, the most basic expression of Americanism." That's our general, our president, who said that. You see, when God goes, so does freedom. You take God out of the schools, and schools become chaotic. You take God out of a community, and the community goes to pot. You take God out of anything, and it degenerates into something that we are not ready to accept. And I, for one, believe in patriotism. My pastor, Bill Probasco, fought in the Army. He was a commander of a tank. And he named that tank the Old Amen, because when they got finished with the enemy, it was Amen. They're done. He regaled us with stories like that, and I really enjoyed it, because he was a patriot. He was a preacher. He baptized my brother. He performed the wedding for my wife and I. My wife and me. For me, yes, for my wife and me. Correct pronoun usage, Ricky. I did the funeral for his wife. And I'm going to cut a little quick video for him. He meant a lot to me. Through my high school formative years, Bill was there. He taught me Greek Sunday afternoons at church. I still have Ray Summers' little red book that he bought for us and that he taught out of. I remember those days. And because I remember them, it makes this kind of bittersweet for me. Whenever the funeral will be held, I will stop wherever we are on the Danube River and pause just for a minute and remember the heritage that I have amassed through him. He invited me to every church he pastored, and I was on program for conferences or for quick revivals, for youth work, every church he pastored. And he meant a lot to me. But he instilled in us a love of country, of Bible, and of faith. You have to know the Bible, he said. You have to realize the country that has given you the privilege of serving as pastor. So, what do you expect if we take God out of the public arena? What's left? What is left is what we see today, I'm afraid. Real freedom is given by God. Point number one. Point number two, real freedom is governed by love. Again, in verse 13 of chapter 5 of Galatians. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Real freedom is loving others more than you love yourself. Our fathers understood something else about liberty, and something that we may be forgetting today, and that is this. Liberty is limited by love. Love for our brethren will keep us from two extremes. The one extreme is liberalism, where absolutely anything goes. Because you're free, you can do whatever you want. That's how we see it. Because I'm free, a free-born American, I can drink my alcohol, I can chew my tobacco, I can eat cake to excess. See, I had to throw that one in just so you wouldn't think I'm talking to them sinners that aren't here today. Liberty and love have to go together or you become liberal. So liberal that you think you can do whatever you want. Somebody said to an old preacher once, you know, if I believed in free grace and eternal salvation, I'd sin all I want to. That preacher commented right back, don't you anyway? Has anyone ever forced us into sin? It's a choice, just like Eve and Adam had. They had a choice, and they chose against God. Well, what's the other extreme? Legalism. Oh, my. Legalism. Somebody says, well, now, Ricky, you wear a coat and tie when you preach. Isn't that a little legalistic? Well, it may be. It could just be that it highlights my handsome features. It makes me look authoritarian. Could I get up here and preach in flip-flops and cut-off shorts and a t-shirt? The message would still be the same. It just wouldn't have the same power. I don't force Victor to wear a tie and coat, but he looks good in one. I don't do it because I want people to see how precious I am, but because I want to honor the God who set apart his high priest as something different. It didn't matter what the congregation wore. It didn't matter what the travelers or the visitors wore when they came to temple, but it did matter what the high priest wore. There are about three chapters in the Old Testament that talk about how the high priest was to dress, his decorum, how he was to present the offering, how he was to do all of these other things. And John Wesley, if you will read his writings, he kind of built on that. He said everything ought to have a method. So what do we call his group? Methodist. He'd turn over in his grave if he knew what they were today. But legalism is saying, oh, you cannot mow your yard on Sunday. That's a day of rest. Really? And I've got company coming and I don't want my yard to look nasty and you won't let me mow my yard because of your pharisaical idea that I can't do it? That's legalism. Liberalism, legalism, let me get it right. Yeah, left is liberalism and right is legalism. I'll change my pointing. It doesn't matter, folks. When you replace love, you replace the gospel. I've told you this before. I'll say it one more time in case some of you on the internet have not heard it. When I talk to young couples about getting married or when we do their ceremony, I tell them that love is giving at the point of personal sacrifice to meet the needs of another without expectation of return. Isn't that how God did it? When God loved what? He loved the world. When God gave, He gave His Son. And if we'll simply trust Him and put our faith in Him, then we shall love immensely. Liberalism and legalism are defeated by that one little word, love. Verse 14 says, For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And you look at it and say, well, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's 7 words. Now, the one word is the key. The whole law is fulfilled by love. Love is the ultimate. Love is supreme. Love is the thing that makes it happen. And not this romantic dime store novel junk or the junk you see coming out of Hollywood. That's not true love. True love is giving. True love is forgiving. True love is hoping, the hope of the Bible, that all things are going to work out. Love. Once you really love other people, you will start to exercise your freedom with one thought in mind. What is that one thought? What is best for other people? Love is the heart. Love in the heart is God's substitute for law in the head. Vance Havner said that. Love in the heart is God's substitute for law in the head. Now, why would he make such a deal? The law cannot make you do what's right. Haven't we seen that already? You cannot legislate morality. The law can only punish. It's love that forgives. The law simply tells you you're dirty, and it can't clean you up. Love is what has to flow over and through you. That's why our founding fathers understood the indissoluble connection between liberty and love, freedom and faith. They knew that. They recognized it. You see, when the Revolutionary War was fought and won, there was no Constitution and there was no unifying law. David Barton, who's written extensively on these things, said that there was only the love that our founding fathers had for one another which drove them to make this pledge. We pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. We didn't have the Constitution then. We didn't have the Independence Declaration. All we had was Scripture. And they fought for country and family and freedom. And they kept fighting. See, we are able to meet today because of soldiers, patriots, who've given their lives that we might be free. And the moment you think you can divorce your liberty from love and your freedom from faith, you have to look at Galatians 5 and verse 15. If you think you can divorce it, here's what it says. If you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. Billy Graham said, we as the church are the only organization that shoots their wounded. We never reach out in love anymore. We're now so busy trying to determine who's a Republican or who's a Democrat to even think about voting the rights of the people. And they need to remember that they in Congress are there at the will of the people. But how much division have we seen just in these days? We're seeing a pathetic group of men and women who are so intrinsically involved in their own nest feathering that they don't care about us. They don't. They're so far removed from reality. They're so entrenched, you can't get them out. People have said we need to drain the swamp. No, it's not a swamp anymore. It's worse than that. It's so stagnant up there. Where love is, Vance Havner again, where love is, law is unnecessary. Where love is not, the law is helpless. You see, when we allow our freedom to be limited by love, what we should do for others, we are the happiest. Victor's going to preach two solid weeks, and I am not envious of that at all. I'm not jealous of that at all. I'm glad to be able to share the pulpit with him. Am I worried that he'll take over for me? No, please. No, that just means I get to sleep in. I don't have to wake up at 5:45 every morning just to get myself ready to come down here. I'll sleep till 7. Well, I still have to get up and go to the hospital. I still got to get early. You see, a marriage license will not keep a husband faithful to his wife. How many married men have so violated their vow that it has morally destroyed families up one side and down the other? The law of a marriage license does not keep a husband faithful or a wife faithful. What does? Love. I'm not going to go out and mess around on Julie because I love her. I fear her. I go to sleep quick. She could give me a liver biopsy and I would never wake up. Or she could take the... I'm serious. When I sleep, I sleep hard. And I don't fear her because I love her. And I love her enough to be able to sleep in her presence because I know she's not going to hurt me. And she knows that I'll go out of my way to help her. You're the same way. I'm preaching to the choir here. You're all happily married people. Well, some of you are. The rest of you are single. Let me clarify that. But folks, let me tell you, when you love somebody, real freedom is guaranteed by love. But real freedom is guided by wisdom. Freedom is not doing what you want to do. It's doing what you ought to do. Think about it. Where would we be if we didn't have a baseline? As I wrote in the bulletin, what fun would baseball be if there were no rules or baselines? No foul pole. What about football? You've got to have a sideline. You've got to stay in bounds. What about any other athletic competition? You have to perform according to the rule. And if you don't, you don't have freedom. You've got to be wise. You've got to think about it. I'm going to give you a quick note here from 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Now let me explain that. The argument in the Corinthians was, what am I going to do with all of this food that's been offered to idols? There were two sources. You could either raise your own or you could go down to the pagan temples, and those priests who had received all the finest meat and vegetables and produce and everything you could imagine, they would then sell it to the regular people. And you could go, if you wanted a prime steak, you could go to the temple, and the priest there would have a piece of prime meat for you. If you wanted the best tomatoes or cantaloupes or whatever it may have been, you could go to the temple there with the pagan gods, and they would sell you all they had. Well, some of the Christians were having a problem. They said, Paul, we're not to go to these places. What about this scenario? If we walk into a neighbor's house who's invited us to dinner, and we discover that they had served us meat and vegetables that had previously been sacrificed to an idol, what should we do? My answer is, grab you a knife and fork, some ketchup and Worcester sauce, and go for it. Because it doesn't bother my conscience. But they also invited a young couple that were just new Christians, and they were sitting there, unfortunately, watching me. And if I used my liberty, my knowledge without love, if I used my liberty not to worry, it didn't bother me, but it bothered them, that I was in sin. And God didn't want that. So Paul told them, what you might do, what you're free to do, you may no longer have a right to do. Do I have freedom to go to a nightclub and a bar and drink Diet Coke? Yeah. But a couple of new Christians see me in there. They're going to say, oh, now that's Ricky over there. Yeah, he's chaplain of a big hospital over here. He's pastor of a church. He preaches the Word of God. Yet he's in this bar. Oh, my. I have wounded them. And it would be considered wrong if I don't use my knowledge based in love and go and say, look, this is just Diet Coke. If it offends you, forgive me. I'm leaving because I don't want to offend you. That's knowledge that would puff you up or love that will build you up. They'd say, oh, no, Ricky, that's all right. Come join us. If freedom is given by God, then you cannot use your freedom in a way, any way you want to. Do you know something? You're free to go up here to Anna, walk across Highway 75 like a person did yesterday, and get hit by a truck and stop traffic for 30 minutes. Because that truck had freedom to drive on that highway. You had the freedom to walk across that highway, and the end result is death. You've got the freedom. As a born-again believer, you have the freedom to do a lot of things that wisdom would tell you you shouldn't do. If I get up here and take a big old plug of tobacco, I keep it over here in my right cheek, there's going to come a time when I'm going to have to do something. I'm either going to have to spit it over there in the spit tune, which we don't have, or swallow it. Ain't going to go there, folks. You don't want to do that. That might make lunch a very miserable moment. Freedom has to answer a question. Even though I may be free to do whatever, what is the wise thing and the loving thing to do that would be best for other people. Well, you have to remember that weaker Christian. Later on in chapter 8 of 1 Corinthians verse 7, I don't have a slide for this one. Not all men have this knowledge, but some, being accustomed to the idol until now, eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Now that's on me. I go to the house. I eat their meat. They brag about it being bought at the temple of Aphrodite or whoever. And I eat it. I have knowledge in it. That idol is nothing. That meat is pretty good, especially when it's cooked to about 154 degrees internal temperature and is let sit there a little bit till that internal temperature moves up about 160 and it becomes a perfectly medium well. Nice hot pink in the center. Got a good crust on the outside with nothing more than salt and pepper. And you cut through it and little juices just run out of it. And when you put it in your mouth, you don't even know you chewed it. Oh, it's so good. And that knowledge just allows me to enjoy. But that other person doesn't know that. One of my favorite stop-down movies is Men in Black. And the older agent, K, is chewing out the younger agent, J, because he fired his weapon in open public. And he said, "Man, we've got to do something to stop this." He said, "No, you don't. Let me tell you something. There is always a Carillion death ray or an intergalactic plague about to destroy the life on this little planet. And the only way these people can make it is that they don't know about it." And that's right. If they don't have the knowledge of freedom that I have, I may cause them to sin. Paul says the word defiled. And that is now on me. I have used my freedom to violate their faith. Well, what Paul said is really true. If food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause my brother. I will not cause my brother to stumble. Oh. You can substitute the word food for freedom, the word freedom for the word food. You can substitute eat meat again for exercise freedom. All it means is, folks, when we let freedom ring in this nation, we have a responsibility. My freedom, since it was given by God, should be used to glorify God. Number two, my freedom should be governed by love. Therefore, I should always do what is best for others. And thirdly, my freedom should be guided by wisdom. Therefore, I should seek what God's word would say, what it would be the best thing to do on this issue. We're going to sing a song, not necessarily an invitation song, but it has a chorus in it. It's "Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone." My chains are gone, I've been set free. We are free, people. We are free, Americans. But freedom without self-discipline will not work. Would you stand with me? Lori's going to come and play "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." And then it goes into this chorus. And the chorus says, "My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love. Amazing grace. Here we go. Amazing grace. The sound. There we are. I'm on it. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And here it comes. Ready? My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. If you get to go to a, fireworks show, enjoy it. And remember that with every burst of the rocket's red glare, remember that your chains are gone. You're free in Jesus Christ.